So we're going to get right into tonight's program, which features Roger Kamenetz, bluesman Leroy Pearson, and John Nopfel, and they'll be performing in that sequence. We will take little breaks in between, allow you to stretch and get a drink and talk to each other and get to know people you may not know. Those of you who are new, we want to extend a special welcome and hope you enjoy it and come back, as many of you already are doing, and we appreciate that. So we're going to start tonight with a poet reading for the first time in St. Louis and at Duff's, Roger Kamenetz, who comes to us by way of Louisiana. A native of Baltimore, Roger Kamenetz is the author of two collections of poetry, The Missing Jew and Nympholepsy. He's also the author of a collection of prose essays, interconnected essays, with the wonderful title Terra Infirma. And some of you may have come across Roger's work in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch about 4 or 5 weeks ago if you saw an article in the Everyday section on a meeting that took place between Jewish leaders and the Dalai Lama. That article was written by Roger Kamenetz, who covered that conference. He's a really fine poet. His stuff is very direct and somewhat humorous, somewhat provocative and thought-provoking. So please give a warm welcome to our guest from far away, Roger Kamenetz.
Thank you, Michael. It's really great to be here. I feel very privileged to read this series and to meet so many people that I like. I feel like I live here. In fact, I have more friends in St. Louis now than in Baton Rouge. maybe I don't wear so well, but it's been great. And I thought I'd begin by reading from the book called The Missing Jew. A few poems just give a sense that Michael was mentioning that I've traveled, where I've come from. So I'll start with these poems, where I come from. The invisible is stronger than the visible. The desert subtracted so many objects, there was nothing left but the wind. Like all good ideas, God was stolen. The Jews, being superior thieves, removed all the markings. The history of my family is the history of breezes, and the exodus, the getaway, my grandfather's, one carrying a barber pole, the other a tailor's needle. Jews do not come from heaven. They come from Russia with green eyes and olive skin. Jews do not go to heaven. They go to Baltimore. They do not come from heaven because heaven is always in the back of their minds. They don't want to think about heaven anymore. It's too much trouble. The Jews' history was huge and murky, no room for it anywhere in Europe. If only the Jews could inherit Texas, it might be big enough to hold their past. The Jews who went out west wore cowboy hats, like Cousin Dan from Oklahoma, who showed up at my grandfather's funeral by uncanny instinct in his cowboy hat and boots and just sat in the living room while we stared. It's amazing how the land will transform a man's face. Cousin Dan looked part Cherokee, part fat cat oil man. He sold buttons. And he spoke with a twang. The yarmulke kept falling off his 10-gallon head. Only a cowboy hat would fit. I think part of this experience of being a Jew is listening to voices and trying to figure out where they're coming from. And I wrote this poem sort of with that in mind. Actually, I didn't have anything in mind. You never have anything in mind when you write a poem. That's a lie. I just wrote this poem, but that's what it seems to be. And it's called You Should. You should live that long. You should be so lucky. You should only see them. You should see them now. You should have seen them. You should be seeing them soon. You should drop dead, you. You should drop dead in the street of a heart attack. You should drop dead in the street and the angels shouldn't know you. You should drop shit in the ocean. You should be a doctor. You should finish school. You should only know what I know. You should take care of yourself. You should watch your diet. You should eat lots of fruits and vegetables. You should live to 120 years old. You should know better. You should know by now. You should have listened. You should listen what advice I give you. You should watch out for yourself. You should be careful. You should drop dead, you momser. You should hurt where you breathe. You should drown in the ocean. You should have psoas. You should be so poor. You should be so desperate. You should be unhappy like that. You should be poor like the Rockefellers. You should be so poor. You should have such problems. Whoa. That's cheaper than therapy, but it's... probably has some of the same effect. Okay, this poem is called Pill Pull, and a pill pull is it's a Talmudic Olympics. Essentially, it means, two guys going back and forth, and they have one guy makes an argument, the other guy makes an argument back, and they shout. That's as violent as it gets. But it's a sporting event. It's like chess. But it's a way of proving your ardor and prowess in argumentation, pill pull. And this the poem begins with an authentic example of one. It was a debate about the yarmulke, which is the skullcap and the tefillin. I don't know how much people know these things, so I'll just, but the amulet that you strap on your head or on your wrist that are the tefillin. Okay. Rabbi, if a child is born with two heads, which head should wear the yarmulke? On which head the tefillin? Some say the right head, and some say the left. All quote Torah. Some say both heads, just in case. But if a man is born with two heads, he is always confused. He never knows on which head to wear the yarmulke. Two heads and only two eyes. He walks toward himself in the old cemetery where the rabbis are buried. There seems to be some disagreement. Some are saying, we are dead. Others, we are alive. Some say both. All quote Torah. I'll read a poem from this second book, Nympholepsy. The word is a real word. Actually, I found it later. Nabokov got to it first, but he would get any word that had to do with butterflies before any other writer. But it means a state of rapture inspired in men by nymphs, hence an ecstasy or frenzy caused by the desire for the unattainable. A lot of poets have that problem. This is called American Express. In New Orleans, they stole my tape recorder, my cassettes, and my carrying case. In Tijuana, they stole my car, my books, my diaries. And in Oaxaca, they stole everything, my shoes, my wife, my teeth. It was beautiful, the thoroughness. The poem I'm going to read now is called Changing Names, and I'd written a lot of poems in The Missing Jew about not changing names, so of course the next thing to do is write a poem about changing your name. When you have a name like Kamenetz, you think about this sometimes. I had a friend, Dave Hilton. He's a poet. I don't know if you his work, but he got the name from his stepfather, and his stepfather once said to him, did the name ever help? Which I thought was really kind of sweet, you know. Hilton. But I could answer that question. Changing names. I hereby change my name from Roger Kamenetz to fill in the blank. What's in a name? Nothing more than you put into it. The roses in my name have all wilted, but the touch of Celia's breath would revive them at once. Who is Celia? Who is Laura? Who is Beatrice? Who is Sylvia that all the swains do commend her? We make up names to save innocent girls from our drunken praise, so they may marry rich men, not poets, and have many servants, one of whom, the maid, will find locked in a secret diary the secret poems addressed to the secret lady with the secret name and the secret number of kisses, 30,000 all in a row, from Catullus to Petrarch to now. I'll change my name to something, anything but Roger Kamenetz. My name's odd conjunction splays me across time. Roger, the Celtic warrior, he who carries a mighty spear in the midst of battle. Okay, it's not Dick. Or Peter, but the resonance is close. I see a drunken, hairy brute with a spear as long as a laundry pole and thick as a baseball bat, haft set in mud, his heels have dug, a jug of mead half tipped at his side, and arrows, mud balls, rocks, and stones thick in the air. One meaty hand, fingers forelock, and beer-soaked beard, Roger. Then there's Kamenetz, Ellis Island wisecrack. Kamenetz, a name that roars like thunder across the bay. No, Kamenetz, a name so hard to pronounce and easy to misspell, tangled in miles of cable, twisted through coves of ears, punched into guts of demented computers and spat out Kavanet, Kabinets, Kamenetti, Commence, Kamenetz, Kamenetta, Kamentez, Kramitz, Kramenetz, Kanonetz, Castanets, Kostelanitz, Gatzenstein, Kamenhammer, Katzenjammer. Really, it's not even Kamenetz, but Kamenets, the Russian E greased by adding a sliding Y, or so three big bears of Russian bibliographers told me at the Columbia Library Slavic section, linking arms on their way to the union meeting, singing the Internationale, they hailed me, Come, Tovarish Kamenets! Cities of grim slaughter, I mean Kamenetz's, little towns in Poland, Latvia, the Ukraine, cramped shtetls. Kamenets from Russian, kamen meaning stone, and etz makes it little, little stones. And Roger, a mighty spear. Mismatch of sexual equipment. But more likely a quarry town. Kamenets means gravel. Cities of grim slaughter. Jews without last names, just David, son of Samuel. It's the old story. Change your name to mark a memory, to mark a moment. When her son was born, Sarah laughed. Yitzhak, she laughed. Isaac. Abram became Abraham. Jacob, Israel. He who struggles with God, struggling still. I hereby change my name from Roger Kamenets to idle speculator daydreaming the new syntax that will release names from dread history and send them spinning an echolalia of nonsense. I want a name as common as dirt, a name like a mantra, as Walt Whitman hypnotized himself chanting, Walt Whitman, Walt Whitman, Walt Whitman. Walt Whitman, who heard the sea whispering, death, death, death. And right, I hear no sea whispering, Roger. Hear no trains clacking by, Kamenets, Kamenets, Kamenets. Every little breeze seems to whisper the sound of one hand clapping, and the night jar that keeps me awake all summer with her lust doesn't croak her throat on Kamenets, but whips poor Will to death. I don't want to change my name. I want my name changed. I want it inhabited by force. I want it to mean something. I want a name to match how dissatisfied I feel. Oh, Sammy Rosenstock, I want a name as tragic and magical as yours when you changed it to Tristan Tzara, Romanian for lost lands. I want a change as surgical and sure as yours, Manuel Rabinowitz, when you erased the Middle West and the middle class with a single stroke and became Man Ray. And you, Pablo Neruda, what was your name before you borrowed that dead Czech poet's? So thoroughly you succeeded, we have lost it. As for you, Ezra Pound, some people are just born lucky. I hereby throw my name into the air. I want it digested into something subtle as alcohol dissolves dye, retrieving blue. I want to cultivate the seeds in my name. I want to groom that drunken lout, Roger, and that scared immigrant, Kamenets, and blend them into a single name, courageous and empty as a shout. You're so nice, really. Thank you. Thank you. Well, it reminds me of this poem I wrote recently because of the title. It's called Monsignor Thomas Kamenets. So I'll read that. Disguised as a famous churchman, I bless buildings, boats, blobs of congealed fat on my plate. I bless the birds as they pass me by, but blessed with wings, they need no human blessing. They are flying off on their own. Their pure flight carries them like faith above this world, a certain height, and then back into it. The pigeons march up and down importantly on bent red feet. The mockingbird ratchets his wings. The birds bless me one by one, as they see me with beadwork eyes. They bless me like the hummingbird who floats in prayer above the bright blue feeder, his beak a precise needle into the heart of nectar. I too float without religion, with no explanation of what I am doing here in any form at all. Change of tone. It's a poem, it's a suicide note. I thought it'd be interesting to write one to see what they look like. I was also interested in the way we sign our salutations these days. Instead of yours truly and sincerely, we say best. So I was kind of intrigued by that. I don't know what that means exactly. You know, the letter, someone write a letter and it'll say best. It's kind of hip and cool, I guess, but I thought I'd use that. The poem is called Dear Me, but it also, that's a salutation, appropriate. Dear me, here's a pill to swallow, here's a knife. If you like bang bang, here's a Luger, no safety, pull the trigger or not, that's life. The wise guy shrugs his padded shoulders, so? Let fashion dictate what should be or seem. If you're smart, you'll wear a helmet when you bang your head against the wall. Don't dream you'll get away, you won't. Divorce? And then what? Marry? Let Tom, Dick, Harry? Shit. Here's a razor blade, and there's a tub of water. Some quitters don't know when to quit. Their jitters get the best of them. They're schlubs. But you, my dear, I know. Don't second guess. I am you on your better days. Best. Love this. How about a little Louisiana stuff? I live on the Bayou Manchac, an esteemed body of water. And this is called On Bayou Manchac Road. Late winter in Louisiana, but it's 70. The clouds congested. The sky steely like it just might snow, but it won't. The climate's blocked. With nothing to do, I roll on gravel past Manchac Bayou, tires whooshing like skidding over sand. There's a desert quality to winter, even without snow. I break for mushrooms, thick as skillets, lipping stumps. Are they worth wet shoes crossing dank bayou water? They may be Pleurotus, sweet forest oyster, or they may be artist palates, brittle sponge. I cross. I lift the white gilled skirts, check for mites. For once, my timing's right. Later, with butter. But first, I watch a flock of blackbirds gleaning the pasture. Like a great hollow arm, they flex and fall in constant flight. But that's an illusion. I clap my hands, all rise, and I mean all. Ink blot drifting and smearing, storm of black snow. With my field glasses, I count new ones rising out of hollows in the grass. Like one of the early days of creation. Then I get back in my car and drive home. Well, Lee Schreiner, when you come, I wanted to read this anyway, but it occurs to me because Lee was kind enough to take this for River Styx, and I'm very pleased by that. I'll read it here and for her, so in case she changed her mind, still has a chance. It's got a French title, it's Les Alicots Sont Pas Salés, which was the original Cajun, Zydeco number. It means the green beans aren't salty because they don't have any meat to put in the pot. And it means we're doing poorly. But Les Alicots got sort of anglicized into Zydeco, Z-Y-D-E-C-O. It has nothing to do with the Zodiac. Some people think it does, it doesn't. It has to do with green beans. And I went to Zydeco Festival to see Buzu Chavez and Sydney, Rockin' Sydney Simeon, Don't Mess With My Toot Toot. You know, I'm going to mess your face or something. You can have the other woman, he said. But anyway, Buzu was doing pretty well there. So we were sitting out there in the dust at this concert trying not to choke to death. Les alicots sont pas salés. A boy runs through the stubble grass, raising plashes of dust. It's like a scene out of heaven, only this isn't heaven, though it could be an encampment outside the gates. Blue plastic tents strut on aluminum poles, brothers and sisters on lawn chairs, huddled around coolers of beer, a fifth of seagrams like a brown corpse rolled on its side. The Zydeco band isn't talking about heaven. Buzu Chavez sings, Je pitre à deux femmes, and the squeeze box squeezes notes that scratch behind the ear. The festival begins. Fried pigtails, red beans and rice, a BBQ chicken leg on Wonder Bread. The bone pokes out funky like a Houston DJ mincing to the mic and pinching up his trousers, doing the push and pull. In case anyone missed the point, what's good for the goose is damn sure good for the gander. The push and pull, the in and out, the slip and slide, the two-step won't get you one step closer to heaven, but makes the waiting bearable in the hot Zydeco field until the sun sinks like pink liberty and the moon rises, one eye blind and the other eye shining. This poem is called Stuck. We've all been there. The bolt was rusted tight. Tried banging. Banging didn't help. Tried shaking. Flecks of rust fell like fossil sparks. Tried cursing. A thick stream of curse spattered the stubborn metal. Gave it the wrench. The wrench flew off the handle. Tried silent meditation. Good for a lifetime of peace. The bolt disappeared. The day disappeared. Ghosts walked through the negative of night. High wires hummed. My hair grayed, thinned, whitened, swirled like wispy snow driven off an adamant mountain. I opened my eyes. The bolt head fell off, but the bolt stuck. I rose from that place, hating the ruined machine at my feet, and called for cold beer, forgiveness. Nothing rusts like tears. I think this is another one, Lee, you took. You can still change your mind with this one, too. So it's called Eucalyptus, and it's a little obscure, I think, to listen to, but I hate when people explain poems, on the other hand. I'd say it's set in 1973. Well, no, actually, it isn't. That's why you shouldn't explain. Okay, it's obscure, but some people will know all the different little things in this poem, and it won't be obscure to you. Eucalyptus, starting with eucalyptus. That lemon cat piss, eucalyptus smell. Like Madeleine, those soggy, eggy cookies dipped in tea. Recalls lame pseudo-English Japanese. Spend your evenings dipped in sound. An ad for stereo. That smell revives a dippy evening logged in San Francisco, walking along the panhandle, where trees at root bear labels, California fashion, the name somehow obliterating things, but not their odors. He picks the clapperless bell of a seed pod from off the nearest branch to ring in his pocket, empty with memory, silent but for smell, and add for nothing. Many nights they ate salad niçoise, watched Israel beat the Arabs on TV, until the gas lines forced them out of there. No furniture, they squat on the bare floor, so nothing lost was nothing lost some more. Two panhandlers from the panhandle, they peddled mushroom candles on the wharf. The hash pipe salesman pitied them and bought a chanterelle sagging in the sun. The floors were polished bare and clean the day they packed. The walls were white with spackle. The windows held their usual light. Downstairs, their baggage drooped. She watched. He bowled a eucalyptus pod across the gleaming floor. This poem is based on, someone said that poems were really riddles at heart, and so I got to reading a lot of riddles, and I thought it'd be neat to make a poem in which every line or every few lines contained a new riddle. Then I thought, well, I better also give the answers, because people get so frustrated when they read poems if they don't know what they mean. What turns but never moves is white as cream. What shines but has no fire is the moon. What rises never sets is thought of you. And in the mountain, which is the head, in the cave, which is the mouth, and on the lakes, which are the eyes, I have lost all sight of you. What gets smaller the more I add to it is a hole. What goes through me before it comes to me will be a riddle. I can see, but I can't feel it. Bitter smoke. I can feel, but never touch it. Absent memory. It goes round and round the house, but never enters. It's heard moving through the rooms, absent voice. It goes round and round the house, leaves a white glove at my window. Cold morning, early winter, shining frost. This is a little bit complicated to perform, but I'll try. It's a poem with two voices in it, and one of the people speaking is alive and the other person is dead. But that doesn't matter because of the poem. And the first person I call Y, and the second person, the dead one, I call X, which makes sense. And they're lovers, or they were lovers, or they still are lovers, but not anymore on the earth. So it's called Lover by Lover. Here's why. Odd man out or in, odd man with a shock of red hair. Wonders mounted on wonders, you wrote an old friend, still relishing splendors, mimosas, caviar, and roasted duck, while the waiters hissed behind you in the dark. The treatments made you lose your hair, not bite. Terminal? I'll be published overnight. The icon of your body made new art, a photograph you autographed and sent to all your poet friends because you knew the terror of your skull was heaven sent, the face of a man that an angel slew, a final image, late and sparkling toy. Is death an angel? But our God was a boy. Is X. What's this supposed to be? The word beyond the grave? My lips are little pills of ash, and ashy words would drift if words could sound here in the void. You get the hell you wish on others, the heaven you design. I drew a blank. I didn't want to look beyond the shift of diagnosis. Once I knew, my sentence parsed a grammar as profound as any poem, metaphor grotesque enough to hinder irony. Except down but not out Smith was my return address. And just my luck, I wrote, the left side paralyzed and I'm left-handed. Turn the curses inside out, an old burlesque that strips the soul for blessings that it needs. While religions fight their battles in the clouds, it's on the earth we find the seeds for future planting. I picked a common sin, love of fellow man, and made it literal. The body tells the truth, and I was true to my own root, and followed its clean spiral out and out to love, where I found you. Now go out to the park and find two swans that paddle side by side, lover by lover, that's Yeats, and feed them crumbled bread. For once they make a choice, they stay with one another for life and not beyond. Beyond is wide water, still air, and not a sound. I'm going to stop there. Thank you.